Well, it has been good today. I thought the messages have been absolutely outstanding. I hope that, of course, we come and we gather together as one. I think we mesh together pretty good, too, don't you? But I've enjoyed the messages tremendously. Of course, my task today is meekness and temperance. This young man that came up with me, he's a big all-state basketball player for Polka, man. And then he had a scholarship to Marshall. It's Noah Frampton. And I'm going to tell you something he did. I've been proud of what the Lord has done in his life. But I want to tell you one thing that he did that I want to share with you. When he was down at Marshall, they had a big parade down there. And the basketball team was required to go to the parade. And off they all went down, going to the parade. You know, they wanted the basketball team, of course, to be in it. And as they was walking, Noah said, what's this parade about? They said, well, this is a gay rights parade. And Noah said, I ain't in it. He was the only one. He was the only one that turned around and said, I'm not walking in it, and went back to his dorm. All God's people said, amen. I'm real proud of that. The Lord's done a great work in this young man, and we baptized him a few weeks ago, and we're just proud of what God's done in his life. It takes a lot of courage for a young man to make a stand when you're the only one. Of course, you're not the only one, because his God was standing with him. Galatians chapter 5, I'm just going to read the one verse that I'm going to be covering here this afternoon. And it's meekness, temperance. Against such, there is no law. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for the great honor to be here. And Lord, these men that have spoken, we're so thankful for their messages that you gave them. And thank you, Master, for helping them and blessing us, great King, blessing us through the messages. And Father, we pray that you would bless this message, use it as you would see fit. Perhaps in this conference today, may somebody be saved here today. What a blessing that would be to see someone saved as a result of hearing these messages on the fruit of the Spirit. Father, work these things in us. May they grow in us to a greater degree so that people will be able to see you in us. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. Meekness, of course, and temperance is my task today. And when you're talking about meekness, you're basically talking about a submissive spirit. I found this in my little yellow book. Every now and then I can find some good little things in here. The idea of a submissive spirit. It says some words come by accidents, others by God provides. For a long time we had searched for a word adequate to express meekness. Then we gave up temporarily and took a walk outside for a break. The grain stalks left after harvesting were beginning to sprout again. So I said, look, Copta, they're sprouting. No, he said, they're odolo. What does that mean? He said, that is the word for new leaves. That is big enough and strong enough to stand and not break. We use it for people too. We use it for people too, who are so strong inside that they don't need or want to fight you. But if a person is hard and brittle like a dead leaf, it means that he's not really strong. Oh, God's people say it. That's a good definition of meekness. But then I got one more I want to give you. This little yellow book's dandy. Did I ever tell you about it? It says in Spanish, in the Spanish Bible, the word for meek in Matthew 5:5 is muso, a word used to describe something that has been tamed and brought into submission. In South America, if you want to ride a horse and are not sure it has been broken in, the people will assure you that they are giving you a horse that is muso. So the thought of submission is definitely implied in the verse. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. We find the same word in Matthew 11, where our Lord tells us that he is meek and lowly of heart. You're never acting more like Jesus than when you're meek. One of the greatest attributes of God's people should be this fruit of the Spirit of meekness. When did meekness begin? When did meekness begin in us? Well, I think it began in the new birth. You see, in the new birth is when we, as a result of the new birth, is that not the day that we submitted to God's plan Amen. Of salvation? Amen. That's the day you became meek. That's the day that really, if you want to look at it this way, that's the day that He broke you. And then you seen what your condition was, and you trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you submitted to His plan of salvation. You became meek. You became meek the day that you was born again. I think it's John chapter 9. I'll be bad shape if that ain't it. But John chapter 9, let's turn there just for a little bit. John chapter 9. And here's an example of someone being broken. Here's an example of someone becoming meek and submitted himself to the salvation that is in Christ Jesus. Verse 35, this blind man the Lord had healed. Jesus heard that they had cast him out. Cast him out of the synagogue because he refused to speak against Jesus. I thought that was pretty great, don't you? And when he had found him, he said, "Dost thou believe? Dost thou believe on the name of the Son of God?" And he answered and said, "Who is he, Lord? Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him?" And Jesus said unto him, "Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that speaketh with thee." And here, Lord, watch this meekness, watch this submission. And he said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshiped him. There's many a great host of people that have trusted a false way of salvation, has trusted a false gospel. But I want to tell you something, beloved. In Romans chapter 10 and verse 3, let's turn there real fast too. Let me just text you that. I'm not going to be real long, which means what? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. The day you were saved, you submitted yourself to the righteousness of Christ. And the reason why you did is that is a fruit of the Spirit. That's where meekness began. You submitted to His way of salvation. A lot of false ways of salvation. And there's a lot of people who have trusted false ways. But to truly be saved, you submit to His way of salvation. Romans 10:3 said, "They being ignorant of God's righteousness, they go about to establish their own righteousness and have not submitted themselves." You everybody see that? They've not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Amen. Why do they not submit themselves? They're not meek. They're not meek. They refuse to submit themselves to the righteousness of Christ. They refuse to submit themselves to the right gospel. Well, that's where it all began. Amen. That's where it all began in us. You became meek the day that you were born again when you submitted to His way, His plan of salvation. Why did you do that? You did that because you're smarter than everybody else, didn't you? No, it's a fruit of the Spirit. The Spirit worked meekness in you, and you seen the mess you was in, and you trusted His way Amen. Of salvation. You submitted yourself to that. And I can't take credit for that, for being brighter or smarter, but I tell you, it's the Holy Spirit that done that for me. That's why the Scripture says that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord, but by the Holy Spirit. Amen. And now I'm glad I know who He is. And I'm glad I've trusted Him as my Savior. But, beloved, I can't take credit for that. The Lord is the one that done it. He made me meek. Well, what happens as a result? You grow in meekness. You became meek the day you were saved. But what happens after that is you continue to grow in meekness in your Christian life. Well, first thing you do is you submit to God's commands in His Word. You submit to His way of salvation, but as you study God's Word and grow in God's Word, you'll see things that God wants you to do. There will be things that he reveals in this book that he wants you to do. Commands that he wants you to do. You know what you do? You submit to what those commands are. I mentioned a few weeks ago, Brother Noah, we baptized him. And he'd been saved and the Lord had been dealing with him in his life. And you talk about someone being on fire for the Lord. He was. And so I went by there and they said, Jeff's his member? I said, nope. He's went here all these days. He's not a member. So I went back there after church and I said, Noah, don't you think you ought to get baptized, son? He said, yep, I sure do. And I said, we'll set that up next week. I'll bring you for the church and we'll set that up. Are you? Is that okay with you? He said, yes, it is. He submitted to baptism.
Right.
I said, the Bible commands after you've trusted him as your Savior, he wants you to make it public.
Yes, sir.
And baptism is the main way it's made public.
Yeah.
You make it public and people can come and watch it and they can see a picture of the message you trusted that saved your soul, the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And my, he invited, I don't know how many people was there that day. There was a big crowd that day. You could hardly get in it. It's because he invited them. He said, I'm going to get baptized. I want you to come. I want you to hear the message. And I want you to watch the baptism. And I want you to see what it means and things of that nature. It's a wonderful thing. You grow in meekness. You became meek in salvation, but you grow in it as you submit to the commands of God's Word. We seek to mind the Lord. We seek to do what He tells us to do.
Amen.
Sometimes I'll listen to a message and I'll hear things that I need to do. I hear things I need to correct. It's in my life. Meekness submits. Have you ever got mad at the preacher? I've had people get mad at me and get mad. And I said, well, what are you mad at me for? He said, because you preached this. Is that right? Is what I told you Bible? Is it truth? Well, right there it is. I said, then don't get mad at me. Submit to it.
Amen.
Submit to it. Mind it. Obey it. Don't quote the messenger. I'm just telling you what the king said.
Amen.
You just need to abide. So we submit to his commands.
Yeah,
and we seek to mind what he says. One of the reasons I remember using to hate church when I was a little boy. I hated going to church. Did you? Oh, I hated it. Just like pulling teeth, wasn't it? When I started serving the Lord, that's when I noticed church changed. Just going to church changed. My mother and father made me go. If I wasn't made to go, I wouldn't have went. I'm glad they made me go. I'm glad they made me go. But one of the things I know that was different is I wanted to go to church. And I started listening. And I started learning and I started growing. And I submitted myself to going to all the services. I believe the Bible means, when it says not to forsake the assembling of yourself together, I think that means to go to all the services.
Amen.
So I submitted to going to all the services. What is that? Meekness. You seek to abide by the Lord's commands. Then I started to submitting myself to some of the doctrines that the Bible taught. First time, I guess I thought I knowed everything, but I didn't. But the first time I heard the doctrines of grace preached, the first time, I couldn't wait for him to get done. I was going to straighten him out when he got done. You're coming in my church that I grew up in and starting this stuff. You ain't going to do it here. We throw you out. You know, I didn't like it. Well, that poor old preacher was meek. It's hard to deal with a meek preacher. He was a meek man. So I went up front and I said, listen, I don't believe what you just taught. Had my finger. I don't believe what you just taught. And he said, well, now, Jeff, I'm not going to. He's real. He was, you know, he's just a gentle, kind man. He said, Jeff, I'm not going to quarrel with you. I'm not. He said, I'll tell you what. I want you to do one thing for me. I'm going to give you about 15 verses. I'm going to write them all down on a piece of paper for you. I said, all right, you do it. And he said, I'm going to give them to you, but I want you to do one thing before you do it. Before you read these verses, I just want to ask you to do one thing. I want you to ask God, is it true or not? You ask God first. Don't just go looking at it mad, but you ask God, is this true or not? Well, you know what I did? I made a mistake of asking God whether it was true or not. And that's what I did. And I said, Lord, if this is true, would you please show it to me?
He did too,
didn't he? Oh, my. I think one verse, I was done. I looked at all those texts, and I submitted myself to the teaching of God's Word. That's meekness. That's what meekness is. It began in salvation. It grows in obedience. And then it grows in teaching. It grows in teaching. You become meek. You accept it because God's Word says it's a very humbling kind of thing. But you submit to it. You submit to it. Is it true? Is it really there? And when you see it and you ask the Lord to show you, don't you think He'd show you? And then part of meekness is submitting to what the Lord reveals to you. Meekness is always is also displayed not only Godward. I ain't got time to go into this, but meekness is also displayed manward. You know, one of the reasons why there's a lot of trouble in church sometimes, and quarrels in churches sometimes, is people's not meek. They won't submit to what the will of the church is in the business meeting. Have you ever seen a post-meeting meeting? Where people didn't like what went on? I seen this happen one time. There's this guy that was dead set against something that I wanted to do. The heathen. That I wanted it done. I thought this needed to be done. And he was against it. And he voted against it in the business meeting. Voiced his opinion against it in the business meeting. And we're a democracy anyway. He had a right to do that. I just didn't think he should win against the preacher. That's what he did. Well, the church voted. And he got voted down. I mean, what he wanted didn't happen. He voiced his opinion. And when it come time to carry out what I wanted done, guess who the first one was to carry it out? That same man that voted against it.
Amen.
That's the way it's supposed to be.
Right.
Now, he could have caused a big quarrel. He could have caused a fight. He could have got mad and left. But he figured that the Lord was behind the majority vote. If that's what the Lord wants, he submitted to that. He could have tore the church apart. He could have quenched the spirit in the church, but he didn't do it. What was he? Meek.
Yes.
That's what meekness is. He was submissive to what the will of the church was. All right, let me move on to temperance. Like I told you, of course I got one more. But we need to be a more meek people. We need to be a more submissive to His Word, to His will, to His way. The next one is temperance. And the idea of temperance is, of course, self-control. If there ever was such a time as needing good old-fashioned temperance, it's today. Our land is out of control morally. But instead of God's people, you know, as the standards of the world drop, God's people's standards should stay here. But what the problem is the standards of God's people drop right along with the standards of the world. There's things that God's people do today and say today and places they go today that when I was a little boy, you just didn't do it. You just didn't. And it's just been a downward fall. If there ever was a time we need a good godly temperance, it's now.
Amen.
We need God's people to maintain self-control. And don't be thrown off by the term self-control. It's a fruit of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit works in you. Self-control. I don't mean it comes from yourself. It comes from the Holy Spirit. to be temperate, you got to have a steady diet of the Scriptures.
Amen.
You won't be temperate if you don't get a steady diet of the Scriptures.
Right.
Have you ever watched anybody drift? Everybody here at your church, have you ever watched anybody drift? And then they drift into some pretty nasty things that you never dreamed that they could possibly drift into. You know where that lack of self-control came from? They quit getting a steady diet of the Scriptures. Psalms 119 says, "Thy word will I hide in my heart, that I might not sin against God." I'm afraid not to go to church. I'm not afraid they'll fire me. I'm not thought what I mean. But I knew when I first started serving Jesus, I knew I had to go to church. I knew if I got out of church, what I would drift into. I was afraid where I'd end up. So I knew I didn't know a whole lot, but I knew I needed to go. I knew I needed to be around God's people. I knew I needed to hear God's word. And I tried to be there every time the door was open. A good steady diet of the Scriptures will keep you temperate. Those who fall and drift into sin, they get away from the Word. That's the first step. They get away from the Word. They quit coming to God's house and hearing the Word, and they don't study their Bibles. I can't imagine. The old Jews would take little pieces of the Scriptures and put it in like a little box and wrap it around their head and things, and just put little pieces of the Scriptures like in a wristband on their arm so they could memorize these things. I imagine when we get to heaven, they're going to go, "You had the whole book? You had your own personal copy? I bet you never got out of it." You can't get God's people to read God's Word. How can people be temperate if they don't go to church and they don't read God's Word?
Yeah. Amen.
It just breaks my heart. It does. I just can't fathom for someone to claim to be born again and have no hunger. Have no hunger for the Scriptures. Beloved, I'm not playing with you this afternoon. I love these. These three messages that you heard today, I love those. I'd carry the men's Bible into the pulpit for them. I tell how much I love preachers. I love preachers because they preach God's Word.
Amen.
And have an impact. You need preachers. You need to hear the preacher preach. Makes you temperate.
Yeah, that's right.
Makes you temperate. Gives you self-control. You need a steady diet of it at God's house, but you also need a steady diet of it at home. Yeah, I ain't figured this out yet. On this house building thing, where's my house builder? Let me ask you a question. We have, what's the most famous room in our house? It's the TV room. You know, the TV is so important in our life, we even named the room after it. Or really, I mean, think of it. It's so important when someone builds a house, they go, "Now, where do you want your TV room?" We got to. Have you ever put on a Bible room? Have you ever put on a Bible room? A place where you. Now, I have a Bible room. Preacher, you got a Bible. You got a Bible room, don't you? A place where you go study. We got Bible rooms. But I think all God's people ought to have a Bible room.
Amen.
Let me tell you what the reflection is. I read one time the average amount of TV time most American, and this is conservative, 4 hours a day. 4 hours a day of looking at that thing. Boy, you know that TV will make you godly. It's give the devil a way to reach right inside your home and corrupt your man and corrupt your children. And make you intemperate, out of control. We need to bring that thing under subjection, don't you think?
Amen.
We need to spend more time in the book than we do. I mean, wouldn't it not be interesting to take a poll of how much time is spent in front of that thing versus how much time we spent in his book? And I guarantee you, if we did a poll that way, that it would reflect why we're in the mess that we're in. Temperance is self-control. Steady diet of the Word. Steady attendance at God's house. Hey, you need to run with the God-fearing. Brother Noah's running around with his preacher now. Running around with his preacher a bit. Wanted to come up here today so he could listen to four messages on God's Word. Scripture says a companion of wise men will be wise. A companion of fools will be destroyed. If you want to be temperate, you got to run with temperate people. And whenever you talk about running with temperate people, we just think about young people. It's all people.
Yeah.
Adult people get to running with people they don't got no business running with, too. Steady diet of the Scriptures. Steady attendance at God's house. Running with the God-fearing. If you want to be temperate, these are things you got to do. A steady forsaking of, you know, the Scripture says evil associations, what do? They corrupt good manners. Evil associations corrupt good manners. And you know, an evil association is a noun. And what I mean by that, evil association is people, places, and things. If you're going to be temperate, there are certain people you shouldn't run with. There are certain places you shouldn't go. And there are certain things that you shouldn't have.
Amen.
Right. So that you can live a life that is holy and temperate and godly.
Amen.
I think, Brother Stoniker, what's happened in our land is God's people's lost their influence.
Amen.
The salt has lost its savor. The influence ain't there. Used to be God's people had a great influence on where they worked at, where they went to school at, in their communities. But that's being lost because they got the same nasty habits as the world does. Same nasty lifestyles. Last of all, why do we need temperance? Why do we need it? So be good ambassadors. Look, beloved, I want to represent Jesus well. I want to represent Him well. I want to bring honor to His name.
Amen.
I don't want to do that to I don't desire any self-exaltation whatsoever. But I do desire to exalt the One that saved my soul.
Amen.
I want to bring honor to Him. I want to be a good ambassador. Because I represent Jesus in my family, in my community. Where you go to work at. I want to be a... You know, if you're not temperate, you're not going to be a very good ambassador, are you?
True.
So we can teach. You know, there's two ways you teach, isn't it? You teach by word. But you also teach by example. I mean, it's one thing to teach children what to do, but it's another thing to set the example for what they should be doing. Paul said, what you both learned, heard, and seen in me do. They should see it in you.
Yes.
They should see it in you. We teach by our word and by our example. What else do we want to be temperate? So we can witness. I want to witness to folk. I want to tell folk about Jesus. But if your life is horrible, they're not going to listen to you. You're not going to have any kind of impact where you're at. I was working with a guy one time. And I was witnessing with a guy. This was when I worked at X. I think I've told you this. But I was witnessing to him, telling this guy about the Lord. And here came the plant hypocrite over. That's what he was. He was a hypocrite. He was horrible. They had the same nasty lifestyle. Went out and drank with the boys and... So I was sitting there talking to this man about Jesus, and I was presenting the gospel to him. He's listening. So here come Joe Hypocrite over, and he said, he started chiming in. I guess it needed help, evidently. He thought it did, but he started chiming in a bit. And he said, Wait there a minute, Jeff. Listen, you do the same things I do. You do the exact same thing. You keep your mouth shut. That's what he said. I thought he was going to punch him. I really did. You keep your mouth shut and go on down the aisle. Then he stopped me and said, go ahead, Jeff. Make a good deacon, wouldn't he? If you get saved, yeah. Yeah, he was tougher than a vine knot. But he wouldn't listen to him because his lifestyle was so bad. He seen no difference. What wasn't he? He wasn't temperate. Paul said he kept his body under subjection lest when he preached to others he would be cast away. One not approved. Well, I'm going to stop with that. That's meekness, a submissive spirit. Maybe the Lord has revealed something to you today you need to submit to because God's Word showed it to you.
Amen.
I'm going to ask you about your temperance. I don't know you. The Lord does. I'm going to close with this. What you are in secret is what you are. And I pray if what you are in secret is different from what you are in public, I pray to change that.
Amen.
Change that today. Brother Don, you come on.
Amen.
See, I preach shorter than the other guys. Do I?